bed in his own mess. Even Abby, Edgar's cat, has more sense than that. At least she was smart enough to jump down to the floor. Jesse exhales his disgust. He doesn't mean for Edgar to hear it, but hear it he does. "I'm sorry," Edgar says, and starts to cry.
"It's all right," Jesse says.
"You've been doing better."
10 years have passed since Edgar last had trouble holding his water, and Jesse can't figure out why the problem has returned. He asked Edgar if he was scared or worried about anything, and Edgar said no, so he supposes it's simply another of his bad behaviors that'll keep coming back now and then, like the shoplifting and the lying and the wandering off, something he'll be training out of him again and again for all eternity. Can he really be that simple? You teach a dog a trick, a horse, and it remembers forever. So how come every few years he has to remind a grown man not to steal potato chips from the store? Could it be Edgar's messing with him and secretly reveling in his frustration? Jesse makes him walk into the bathroom, take off his undershorts, and put them in the sink. Edgar's not crying anymore and seems to have forgotten he ever was.
"Not too hot,"
he says when Jesse turns on the shower. He's a big fella, bigger than Jesse, over 6 feet tall, round as a barrel and getting fatter every year. He'll always be 50 years old outside and 10 inside his head, a child bearing a man's shell, and Jesse will always have to look after him, because he promised their mother he would. What else could he do? A dying woman's last wish? He unwraps the cake of soap that came with the room and hands it to Edgar. Edgar smells it, licks it, and makes a face.
"It's soap, not candy," Jesse says.
"Smells like candy," Edgar says.
He sings while he showers, his current favorite song, about truck drivers who band together to outwit the highway patrol. He knows all the words, including the talking parts, and even cups a hand over his mouth to mimic the sound of a CB radio.
"Wash everywhere," Jesse yells over the singing. "Under your arms, your ass.
10-4, good buddy."
Jesse strips the sheets off the bed. The mattress is already so filthy that one more stain won't be noticed. He tosses the sheets onto the bathroom floor. We'll wash them in the shower later. Edgar stops singing.
"I'm hungry," he says.
"There's Pop-Tarts," Jesse says.
"I mean really hungry."
The neon sign of the drive-in restaurant across the road from the motel is missing letters. H. M-B-U-R, S-H, K, S, F-R, S. The first time Jesse and Edgar traveled this stretch, it was part of the highway that ran from Chicago to Los Angeles. There was nothing but orange groves here then, and on that frigid January night when they passed through, they stopped to look at the smudge pots. Crude, oil-burning stoves kept blazing among the trees until dawn in an attempt to warm the air and prevent the fruit from freezing. Thick clouds of greasy smoke billowed from the pots, smoke that scratched at Jesse's throat and blackened the faces of the men tending the fires. They looked like demons, freshly sprung from hell as they slouched in the orange flicker of the flames, eyes and teeth shining out of the darkness. The sight scared Edgar, set him to whimpering.
"What's that, haints?"
he asked.
"No," Jesse said, "just men."
They tore out the orange trees in the 30s and replaced them with motels and hamburger stands and filling stations. Then they built a bigger freeway a few miles south that siphoned traffic off the old route, and the motels, burger joints, and filling stations started going under. Those still hanging on are struggling. There's no money to buy new mattresses or fix neon signs. Broken windows get boarded over, and owners opt to pay electric bills instead of replacing worn linoleum. Not that it matters to the customers they get these days. The motel Jesse and Edgar are staying in is a horseshoe of 10 cabins that hugs a gravel parking lot. Jesse looks back to make sure Edgar hasn't followed him out before crossing to the drive-in. The drive-in is where the local whores gather and where the truckers who detour over from the freeway come to find them. They favor this spot because there's room to park their rigs on a half acre of weedy asphalt next to the burger stand, an expanse that was once a used car lot. The whores and truckers conduct their negotiations at the drive-in's 4 wooden picnic tables. 2 girls are on duty tonight.